Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 9, where we have just lost our fourth player from the game, and we started up an invisible HOH competition. I don't know how they expect us to watch an invisible competition, but it's going to happen. We're going to make something work. With me tonight is AJ. How you doing, AJ?
I'm doing really good, Taryn. I'm excited that there's no more white guys in the house. And so it's a good night for me.
It's a good night all around. Also with me tonight is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
Well, as the matriarch of the podcast, I have decided that we are allowed to party. So you can all go to your kitchens and grab your pitcher of beer that I have stashed there for you and your pad thai. And then we're going to do some splits.
Yes, I have, in fact, in case you don't recognize the man behind the woo, that is Ty, and I'm going to just play this woo many times throughout the season because I love what they make Ty do in the diary room and when he's hosting competitions. Also with us tonight is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. I'm going to just tell you up front, I'm very excited with this eviction tonight. Feel like I needed... Kyle to go. Kyle's gone, so we can move forward.
Not specifically Kyle, but any Kyle.
I needed Kyle out here. And now we can go forward and have a great season. I thought it was pretty cool. We'll talk about it. We're going to acknowledge the pairs, and we finally had a pair broken up. So, yeah, you know, even if it wasn't the most exciting episode, exciting results to move us forward here.
Well, we have eliminated Kyle from the game. And we started this new HOH competition. So, some stuff to talk about here. Arissa is going to cue us up right at the beginning of the episode with this invisible HOH business. She will later call, the newness. Let's talk about the newness. But we're not going to get too many details about that until later. But, how do we feel about this, invisible HOH? It's, we were informed about it in the previous episode by the announcer. And it almost felt like a last minute addition. Normally Arissa would queue up a future twist in the previous eviction episode, but instead we got it from the announcer who was like, what is this? Invisible? But it is in fact what we speculated, which is basically an anonymous HOH where they are allowed to make their nominations anonymously. And then, they are allowed to compete in the veto. And they will also be allowed to compete in the following HOH, which is something that I thought they would probably do, though how I would do it is I would just have the next HOH competition be individual, and then they just wouldn't compete and they wouldn't win, right? But you know, they can do whatever they want. That's fine, whatever.
Well, I like that they don't compete just so that they can completely hide if they really want to. We could get through the entire week without, you know, with the house guests never knowing who the HOH was.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm saying, I think a better way to hide it is not allow them to compete in the following HOH, but just hide the fact that they're not competing by having them do it individually. That way we won't have the same HOH two times in a row,
you're skipping over the most important part about this is that we are losing a full week of bro bats. by having no HOH room this week. Like, well, what are Ty and Jed going to do with their time?
Well, is the HOH room closed off completely?
I don't know. She said nobody was going to be in there.
Like, it's nobody's room, but yeah, can they still use it?
It's free reign. Whoever wants it, they can
I feel
go
like
in.
A member of production probably needs a place to stay for the week, and that's kind of how we ended up where we are.
Maybe. That's a good question. Emily in the chat says, does the HOH vote? I imagine what will happen is they will call everybody to the diary room. The HOH will come in and they'll be like, hey, what's up, Arissa? And she'll be like, hey, how's it going? This is going all right. All right, I guess time to go. All right.
That's what I imagine.
Yeah.
What up, AC? Oh, I'm just saying hi.
I like the twist from the perspective of, you know, my first instinct is actually like, would I like this if I was a player? Not as much would I like this if I was a viewer. From a player's perspective, I feel like it's good if you win because you have all the perks of being able to compete again, etc. And you could potentially make a bigger move and move outside of your two-sided game right here. You could put up a person from both sides. You could do a lot of interesting things. And then if you're not someone who's on the block, it could be good because you get to see the house shaken up without actually being involved in it. It's very murder mystery, which is fun. We could be getting a lot of that. The worst case scenario, which I don't know if we have gotten 100% confirmed yet, if they're allowed to tell anyone if they win or not, but the worst case scenario is just that somebody wins it and immediately the information gets out.
Yeah, that definitely struck me right away, AJ, which is that they were not told, at least right away, that they are not allowed to reveal that they are the HOH. And that is definitely key, because if they are allowed to tell somebody, they are going to tell somebody. If they're not allowed to, then they'll still probably try to. But there's going to be very different outcomes for the week, depending on what this rule is.
See, I like the idea of this twist, but not particularly for this household, because pretty much you know what these people are going to do. Like, I think the only people this might benefit is Tina and Tara, because they are low-key riding the middle, and Ty and Jess still thinks they're with them. So I think that helps them. But basically anybody else, you can basically zero in on who's going to win it. So if it was like a different season where it wasn't too clear defined size, I think that would have been a more fun twist. I like that they're adding this to their rotation of possible twists. I think in a future season this would be great. I think this season is going to be but you know, I'm fine with it.
It helps Tina and Tara to maintain a good position if they do win, but I don't think that it even would change up who they would put on the block. I think they would put the same people they would originally have planned. It would just allow them to hide a little bit better. So, yeah.
Yeah, now.
See, I actually feel the opposite. I feel like this is the exact right house at the exact right time for this twist, because I think in most houses, not only would you know what side had won, but you'd probably be able to pinpoint exactly which person had the HOH. Like in a house, like when there's some kind of steamroll going on, and you know, all of a sudden two people from the majority go up, you're going to be like, okay, so it's one of two people. Or if somebody from the majority puts up two people in the minority, like, well, who cares who has it then?
You know, guys, I think my connection's bad. I think Taryn just said something positive about a twist. Give me a second. I just got to fix this for a second. I don't know if I heard that right or everything's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we have here this week is a situation where this house is so primed for it because the players in the game right now are all so paranoid and willing to believe in all kinds of different conspiracies all the time. And so if they're not able to know exactly who put them up, they're gonna be looking for them. They're gonna be like, wait, who is this? And if it is Tina or Tara and they're trying to pretend that they're not doing it, and the, you know, both sides are like, well, who is doing this? If Ty and Jed are like, Ro put us on the block, and Ro's like, I swear it's not me. And then they're gonna be like, could it be Kiefer? Like, no, he didn't compete. Why are you even saying that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it could be all over the place here.
And Kiefer was the one during the announcement, like, what are we playing? What is going on in this house? It's like, relax. It's okay. We're going to get through this, Kiefer. We are all going to get through this together.
Yeah, there's not. Just be very scared of Kiefer because.
Just call me the Grim Kiefer because I am ripping these duos apart.
He's coming for your duos.
Okay, Kiefer.
The Grim Kiefer. How do we feel about the Grim Kiefer, AJ?
He can get rid of that for now and forever. Like, we don't need that anymore. That was terrible. I hated it. Please go away.
You're not down for the Grim Kiefer? Mary, are you
no,
with me
I'm
here?
Not down.
I think it's a fun pun. I don't think it actually fits him at all. This is something that we talked about the last time I was on an update. It was just like, he's like, oh, I'm so brutal. I'm playing the game. Oh, I'm such a mean person. Like, you're doing exactly what you should be doing in this scenario. It's not mean to put up two people who are coming for you. That's just the game.
But he does have some good roasts. So if that qualifies just anything in the same category, you know, villainous kind of vibes happening here, the roasts were pretty good.
I think the Grim Kiefer would be a good, like, DJ name or something.
Well, he is a, that's what he does, right? That's his profession.
Well, there we go.
He's on the radio.
Yeah.
So what we see is that after the veto ceremony where Kiefer, the Grim Kiefer, puts, I'm just going to always call him the Grim Kiefer, puts up Austin as the replacement nominee, Kyle is going to call Kiefer out. I felt like this was a weak call out here. Kyle still does not have a great case to make against Kiefer, because his best argument is still, oh, but I voted to keep you. What the hell?
Yeah, there wasn't much there. And I know that, like, a lot was made this week, both on the feeds and kind of in the episode as well, about, you know, Kyle and his lack of real, like, fight to stay, which was a little surprising given how, you know, how much he talked about being a fan, how much he talked about being somebody who was, you know, playing all these wilderness Big Brother games. Like,
Big Brother camping, get it right.
Big Brother camping. I'm so sorry to Kyle's friends, but not to Kyle.
It's legendary.
But yeah, I mean, it was, you know, a little surprising to see the lack of fight in that end of things. But apparently, you know, we had a little bit of action here, but it always seems to come in the form of calling out Kiefer. Just Kiefer. Even when it was like Victoria confrontation, he was like, okay, but Vic, like, let's calm down. Let's talk about this. But Kiefer is like, F you still suck.
Yeah. I think not Kiefer. What's
the Grim
name?
Kiefer.
Like, Kyle.
I already forgot his name, honestly, so.
He's gone and for good. So Kyle probably still got the whole LaToya situation still in his head, like, oh, when she called him a bully and stuff, and we saw how he reacted to that. He reacted poorly. So he wanted to, like, you know, act tough in front of his friend, his boy Rohan, and be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna call him out. It's gonna be all this good. But in the back of his mind, he's like, I don't want to look like a mean person to this man. Like, he's so timid. But if he was going full speed, trust me, it wouldn't be good either. Like, he's not the explosive fiery type. He's not the fun type of person. Like, give me Rohan every day if you want to call someone out. But, you know, that's
well,
just my
I mean,
personal opinion.
What, are you kidding me? I'm the most calm, cool, and collected person in this house.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, in the middle of Kyle's call out, Victoria chimes in. She's got some things to say to Kyle here, Mary.
I feel like Victoria's like, you know, I keep telling everyone that I'm spicy V, but I haven't been spicy for a couple days now. So let's try to get the spotlight.
I hope
back
they
on
got
me a little
their
bit.
Milk ready.
Yeah, I got their milk ready. I don't know if beer and wine really help when you've got spicy things coming at you, but yeah, Victoria, she jumps on them and tells Kyle and Ro, like, oh, I knew you were coming after me. So which, like, it's an okay comeback if it was Kiefer saying it. If someone's saying, Kiefer, you're being hypocritical, and then Kiefer was like, well, you are also being hypocritical, that'd be one thing. But Victoria coming in, it's like, yeah, but Victoria, I'm not talking to you. So this is a triangle with one side missing. It doesn't
listen, Mary. He said
don't
her
talk
name.
About triangles in this
he
house.
Tried to save himself in this game. He tried to put himself in the best position to stay. How dare he do that to Victoria?
Victoria always knows she's on camera, which is like, for sure, they're all in the Big Brother house. But, like, I don't know, it felt like a speech she had prepared. And it's totally possible that she did. But I was like, are you about to go give like a veto speech or something? Like, it was so, she's like, I feel like you've said my name. And I feel like just like she had her points laid out ready to go. And it didn't feel the most organic. But I feel like that's a lot of the stuff that's been going on with
Victoria's
speeches.
She was telling people all day before the ceremony, like, I'm going to call Kyle.
Right.
The ceremony. Let's make it happen.
So she was planning it, and yeah. You could kind of tell, but I mean, it's fine. I'll still take it.
It's like, you gotta do it when it's fresh, Victoria. That's why you keep failing.
It's one of those situations where, I'm sorry, you come here.
I was just going to say, it's okay from Victoria, in my opinion, because it's like, it's somebody who's come into this game and told the cameras before, like, I'm here to just sort of have fun, make it as far, you know, make it to jury, be a big character, whatever. And so it's okay. Like, if she rehearses stuff, at least we know it's coming. Whereas at least she's not trying to pretend to us that she's doing this for some game purpose.
Yeah.
I've
got to say, so in this episode, I feel like Big Brother Canada, they have an issue often where they like to give credit to people when credit is not due to people, right? And this really struck me tonight because we're watching this clip of Victoria calling out Kyle, and you see Ty in the background. What's he holding? He's holding some popcorn. He's popping some popcorn in his mouth as he watches the argument. Very funny, great stuff. And then they just keep cutting to after he's passed some popcorn to Kiefer. Now Kiefer's popping in some popcorn, and we just get shot after shot of Kiefer chomping on the popcorn. Whoa, what happened to Ty? Ty was the one who had the popcorn. He was eating the popcorn first. Why is Ty not getting popcorn credit? This is very unfortunate. I really do not appreciate this from Big Brother Canada, trying to give Kiefer all the popcorn credit when it should really be a Ty thing. It's really bothering me, Matt.
No, I've heard it all. Every criticism Taryn could have had of Big Brother Canada, I've heard it all.
I'm just sick and tired of the wrong people getting popcorn credit.
Look, I get it. We've gone through a couple of tough seasons with the credit of it all. BB Can 6, you know, a little bit of that. A lot of BB Can
history,
definitely.
This is the worst thing they've done since Johnny.
I guess.
15 minutes in, and this is the argument, so I think it might have been a slower episode.
Hey, now. Let's let the grim Kiefer eat his popcorn.
Stop telling the truth, Mary. We don't do that here.
No, look, okay, so... I thought it was really funny though that Kiefer was like sitting back and watching, because like he's the one that was like A, getting yelled at first, and then like the attention kind of got shifted off.
They got you with the edit. Oh, you appreciate Kiefer. Where's the appreciation for Ty? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if I said I appreciate Kiefer. I mean, I appreciate what he did this week. But
don't walk it back, Matt. Don't walk it back.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we're going to get a segment with Kiefer and Tina and Tara, where Kiefer talks about how he has a special thing going with Tina and Tara. They are kind of the average people in the house, and he would like to get far with them. They don't reference the pre-90s alliance by name, but they do play like knockoff Rocky music, which I don't know.
That screams pre-90s to you?
It was the best I could come up with. I don't know why there was like knockoff Rocky music in the background of this segment, but it was there.
Is Rocky music not pre-90s?
I mean, it is, technically.
It is? Okay.
It's 70s. So,
but either way, like 70s, crazy music aside, am I wrong? That I feel like they've been doing a good job of setting up the actual structure of the house, at least. Like, I know you keep saying that like they're doing it a couple days after things actually happen, but I feel like as of like this episode, am I wrong, or was it like a pretty accurate setup of what the house is? I mean, it was kind of basic, but also like Tara told us exactly where the pieces fall.
With the exception of the fact that the edit was like, Tara's the mastermind.
Well, I mean,
she's
got
it
like,
all figured out, and she's definitely not doing anything to make her position worse.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like the pre-90s was a thing like over a week ago, and by now it's actually started to break up a little bit because of some of the tension with this vote.
We're
a little late to the party here, yeah.
So if they're a week behind throughout the whole season, I mean, eventually they're going to catch up. We're going to get to like the final 5-4 where there's nothing to talk about. So by then, that's when they catch up.
They show us more clips.
Yes. Well, they showed us clips tonight. So yeah. We're just getting a head start. We're just clips. I mean, we haven't gotten the drag show. We haven't gotten the roast. So there's still plenty of clips to go. I don't know if they're holding those for like the BB Can Awards or something like that, but they're saving the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. That good stuff.
Yeah. Just keep holding it. It's fine. They can hold it for the awards, or just keep holding it.
I really want that drag race that has formerly evicted Kyle. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And if they put that segment in with the drag stuff, the Kyle smoking thing would have been even funnier in the roast, which also wasn't aired. So maybe they're just trying to keep consistent by not telling us anything about the fun stuff. Well, they gave us a party. We'll get to it. Okay, whatever.
Oh, what a party it was.
Your favorite segment, I'm sure.
Yes. Kyle and Ro are going to explain themselves to Vic. They're going to apologize. And Vic says, look, do I believe them? Sure. Do I care? No. I'm just bothered by the fact that they backstabbed me and they lied to my face. Only I'm allowed to do that. And I was just like, yes, this is why I enjoy Victoria in the game. She owns it. She's unapologetic. Now she owns, when I say she owns it, she does the opposite of owning it most of the time, but at least she recognizes that she's a liar and a backstabber, which I appreciate. It's much better than Kyle being like, I can't believe Kiefer would do this to me when I voted to keep him, even though I definitely still wanted him out of this game.
I love that Victoria was like yelled at him for being a hypocrite when she was just like, yeah, I'm a hypocrite too, but I don't care. Like, there's only one hypocrite in this house and it's me. And if there's more hypocrites, they deserve all the punishment in the world.
Wait, so what does hypocrite mean exactly?
That was like so bad.
Hypocrisy.
Oh, it's
as
like
a guy who doesn't know a lot of words very often. Like, I always need simple words explained to me. I was like, whoa, Kyle. Whoa.
I really enjoyed Ro's reaction of,
do you actually not know?
Do you actually not know? You're joking, right? Like, you really don't know this. Okay. And then he somehow got like, okay, what does hypocrisy mean? It's when somebody's being a hypocrite. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
It's that moment when you're like, they give you the right answer, but you still don't understand, and you're just like, I'm going to roll with the punches. Like, just pretend everything makes perfect sense.
What do we think about if, okay, so we know that they're allowed to have a Bible in the house. I don't even know if BB Can has one, because I mean, we see it all the time on BBUS, but why don't they put a dictionary in there? Let the house guests read the dictionary all day. No. I mean, the worst that could happen?
The worst that could happen is that we would lose these moments.
This is the moment that I have to lose before
Kyle, like, instead of asking what hypocrisy means, he would just pull out his phone and just quickly Google it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He'd just be like, hold on one second, Ro, and he'd run up to the dictionary and he'd be like, hypocrisy. And then he'd run back into the ball and be like, no, I totally know what that means.
I really wanted Alyssa to be like, Kyle, question number one, define hypocrisy.
Oh, you better believe that I am sneaking hypocrisy into my interview with Kyle tomorrow.
And you 100% know that if there was a dictionary in the house, I'm not going to let this go, they would have an HOH comp on the dictionary where you have to give the definition of some big words and we can make it happen. If there's ever a theme that's like library-like, school-like, we can do that.
Like, what is the definition of, I can't come up with a weird word.
I'm not fixing Big Brother here. I'm just giving you the small, stupid ideas to make.
Listen, Taryn, they got A-plus challenges, like counting how many rocks are falling. So.
I mean, I've got to say, I'm genuinely great competition. I love that they're counting rocks, because there was a lot of speculation that this would be some kind of running competition. And if it was, it's just like, all right. Give Jed the win. Like, it's already over. But literally anyone can win a counting rocks competition.
And why was that speculation a thing?
Like, everyone was talking about that they were told that they really needed, like, to keep their legs strong or something.
Like,
Beth needed to rest up, like, her ankle. Like, just make sure you're ready for Thursday.
The competition is going to be like for hours that they have to stand there. I mean, that would be the only thing that would make it interesting for me, is like eventually your mind would start to wander and you'd probably be less accurate, and just standing still for a long time could be difficult. But
I've watched a lot of Big Brother, as have all of us, and I've never heard once a warning about make sure your legs are strong for the upcoming competition.
Hey, look, I do it all the time. I stand for podcasts. It's hard.
Yeah, but you tell yourself that. You don't have anybody have to tell you that.
Like, Taryn, you could have never told us that, and we would have never known. So you're just trying to flex on us. And I don't appreciate it.
AJ, I think you're a little late to the party if you didn't know that.
Anybody that watches should realize I'm standing, because I walk back and I pace like I'm Ro all the time.
Well, I'd be moving too, but I'm just going back and forth from my wheelie chair. Look.
When I'm sitting, I do one of these.
Mary's like, I'm not messing up my lighting again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Look, here's the... I mean, standing sounds like it would be nice, but like, how do you have your podcast blanket if you're standing? I'd have to like build a podcast skirt or something.
No, see, I usually have the opposite. It's usually too hot in here, and so I would not want a blanket for my podcast.
Oh, got you.
Yeah.
Got you. So. Well, what an episode we have here.
All right. Well, you know what, guys? You know what? I thought this episode was fine. I thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Has there ever been a time in all of BB Canada where they do one of these? And there probably has, because to be clear, I've only started watching since BB Can 6. But like when they have one of these house task kind of things that someone has to do, it seems like the majority of the time, if you let the person complete the task, even if it seems a little bit sketchy at first, it's going to benefit the whole house. So at the point where you hear Tina and Tara being called to the diary room, and then they're kind of acting a little bit odd, walking around, just let them do it. Because like, worst case scenario, they find a hidden veto. Best case scenario, no. Y'all get like a party.
Yeah, that's that worst case scenario is not a great case scenario, actually.
But still, if it was Brayden like that, I just feel like a lot of times it's like if you don't get caught, then everybody gets something good. If you do get caught, everybody's on slop. Like, I just don't know if I would want to risk that.
Locking the door, like Big Brother production, like locking the door, like let them sneak in if you want. I mean, maybe they were on like some kind of time limit because, you know, feeds being down for 8 hours versus being down for 4 hours is a big deal to them.
We don't actually want them to be caught is the thing.
But Tina and Tara 100% failed. Like, they did not succeed.
Exactly.
They were caught by Brayden. They were caught by Ro. Like,
they were also called to the diary room at the exact same time. So, like, how did they really get around that? I mean, there could have been a little bit of, like, time in between and maybe they just edited it together, but still did seem weird. I'm sure nobody was surprised.
Here's the thing. They could have edited it to be like they didn't get caught. Like, they could have edited like, oh, they almost got caught. But they were just like, yeah, they caught him, but we're still going to throw this party anyway. Because, you know, beer's fun.
Just imagine Tara wins this HOH. Like, she's going to tell everybody by tomorrow.
Yeah, I actually, Mary gave me an idea, which is that how funny would it be if there was a secret task, like a la like William finding the secret veto that you weren't allowed to get caught doing. But when you did get caught, you were like, hey, wink, wink, like, let me do this. We got something coming. And then they're like, oh, okay. I don't see anything. And then like you whip out a secret veto. They're like, No, I caught you. No.
Well,
I love the idea that Tina and Taryn just sees Brayden and be like, you didn't see anything. You didn't see anything.
these aren't the matrons you're looking for. All right. So, yeah, they got a party. It was fine.
Oh no, we're not stopping there. Hold on a second. AJ.
Yeah, what's up?
Seen any Victorias at parties like that in your day?
I have. And I understand. That's my response. I understand.
We've all been a Victoria at time, right? Right?
No, I've never been a Victoria. Oh, but Matt, have you been a Victoria?
She is that girl. She is that girl, says Brayden.
Oh, she was.
Yeah, that girl.
I've seen that girl. I avoid that girl at the party.
It looked painful. When she got down on the ground, she was doing like a little bit of like a tumble that looked like she was just squishing her head against the floor and falling. I don't know. I'm not a professional, but
it felt like to me, Victoria like watched a lot of party movies where like the party girl goes crazy and then try to recreate it and be like, oh, I didn't realize it'll be this hard.
Yeah, she reminded me of like in high school when you'd be at a party and somebody would think that they were drinking alcohol, but it wasn't actually alcoholic and they were going wild. But then afterward, you're like, you're told like, oh no, they were drinking that was actually non-alcoholic. And then you're like, oh, that's extra embarrassing, actually, now that you think of it.
Yeah. Wow. Imagine. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Brayden made, well, I was going to say Brayden made out pretty good there, but I didn't mean it like that. And then
you should have just kept going because it would have been great. I would have thought you were a genius.
Brayden made out great there at the party. He had a great time. And
was amazing. You're a genius.
Did we see the kiss between Beth and Brayden? Because I'm pretty sure we heard that happened. Or was that like three parties ago?
Wasn't that Yeah, wasn't that the previous wild bingo party?
I might be mixing up my parties. Okay, yeah. And Beth, as Bill points out, welcomed Braden to the club of, you know, just the trio. Of now Braden's the honorary fourth in case anybody ever needs to step in. If somebody's out sick for the day, if somebody gets injured, if somebody, you know, falls deep into the ball pit, can't get found, Braden's going to step in.
This house, if someone's out sick for the day, they should just all call it quits for that.
Good point.
Points were made.
All right.
Just congratulations to Braden on a job well done.
So there you go.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We do get a conversation between Beth and Ty where they talk about, what if we did take out Austin this week? What if we did do that? Kyle's barely doing anything. We're really going to hear a lot from a very excited Ty.
Woo!
He's very excited about this idea of taking out Austin. And Ty, see, it's interesting that Ty is kind of the figurehead for the Austin flip when he was actually in reality one of the people who was shutting it down the most. But that's how things go.
I feel like the show made it seem like Tara was the figurehead for it because she was just like, oh, I'm annoyed that nobody's coming to me. Austin's right. Not coming to me, so maybe she should go.
Well, by figurehead, I mean on the Sunsetter side, okay. The people who actually needed to flip for anything to matter. They did make Tara the figurehead for the push. What they did not show is that Tara pushing is probably the cause of Ty not being on board with
Flip.
Doesn't
know what's good for her.
Are you going to tell him that tomorrow?
It's not to do specifically with anything Kyle did, so I think I'm supposed to avoid anything like that. I can maybe try to allude to it a little bit.
Yeah, no one's going to tweet him anyway about it because everyone's just going to be tagging him in tweets about the other Kyle more because everybody's so excited for that. He's going to be so confused.
Which one?
Both of them.
Yeah. He's going to be like, oh, there can't be more Kyle Moores. This is ridiculous.
And I'm still curious, like, if I don't think anybody knows for sure if he knew that he was the alternate before the game. I mean, probably, but like, I don't know, just when he finds out just what he's missed regarding himself.
Yeah.
It's been a lot.
We are going to see some Kyston? Ossel? I don't know where we're going to go with this.
I have issues.
I can't find any more. I don't know if you guys have any.
I don't know what you say already. I low key zoned you out.
Kyston is probably the best out of all of those.
It's costing us precious time while we're trying to recap the rest of the episode.
Ooh.
Matt is on fire tonight. Like, oh my God.
This showman.
This is overtired.
Yes.
Sorry.
This showman segment on the show here where we get to, I mean, it's we're not going to get much of it. I'm surprised that we didn't get the hand holding, Mary.
I mean, handholding is a big deal. That's like 0.05 on the base scale.
The base scale. Really,
they held hands during the eviction.
Did they?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I saw some locked
but
in.
That, if,
I but that's, hands. That's like what you do when yeah. anyone's on the block together.
LaToya did not hold Kiefer's hand last week. Nicole did not hold Rohan's hand that week.
I think that's more of a LaToya thing than like a Kyle and Austin thing here.
I'm just saying, they were holding hands.
If holding hands in bed is a 0.5 on the base scale, then holding hands while on the block together.
Holding hands in bed, first off, you have to be in bed together. So that we're at like 1.5.
Well, they were
at least
in separate beds, I believe.
Mm-hmm. With like a blanket in the middle, right?
Across the bed.
Yeah. In 1970, that would still be a 1.5.
That would still be
it was a true Romeo and Juliet.
In the Dick Van Dyke Show era, I hear that separate beds is all the rage.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, though,
you probably
who wants
better
to share
sleep
a bed?
That way. Yeah, you better sleep. You gotta put like a pillow or something to prop your arm up if you're holding hands like that.
Yeah.
Like an ottoman.
You're going to be a better partner if you're well rested. That's all I'm saying.
Better partner. Yeah.
All right.
Just call me the Grim Keeper because I am ripping these duos apart.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Keeper.
Should we do it in unison? Okay,
no.
Keeper.
I already said no, sir.
Well, we get this whole edit with Tara. Tara is she wants people to campaign. Why aren't people campaigning to Tara? This is where she gets information. Campaign to me, and I'm just like, what? They're in your alliance. What do you mean information? What do you want from them?
Well, also, like, when you tell someone you're safe, we all got you, Austin. You're gonna be fine. Then Austin's thinking, okay, I should probably sit back and relax. Because so many times in the show, the person who's told that they're safe, you know, by their alliance, they start, you know, freaking out and start campaigning. And that's when they actually blow up their game. So, yeah, you, what do you want? What do you want from Austin? You want her to fake campaign to you after you told her she's safe?
Can I just make my call here that Tara's going to the final two?
Oh.
No.
No, take that.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Who is evicting her? Who is sending her home? I get that, like, people want to split up the pairs or whatever, but, like, I just feel like if they're on the block together with Tina and Tara, maybe, like, Tina's a stronger player, even though she has better relationships. I just feel like there's not a point where I would be like, I need to take her out. I want to sit next to her at the end.
Listen, if she keeps roasting, she's going to be out next week.
But no, she was trying hard with getting people to spill the information, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. She just wants to play the game. She's just, you know, I don't feel comfortable, but I kind of feel uncomfortable. So I want people to tell me things. It's like, there's nothing to tell. Kyle isn't saying a word. He has nothing to tell you. These are the four people that are working together. That's their game. That's exactly, you know it. What else do you want? There's no secret powers. There's no hidden agendas with those four at all. Like, you know their plans.
Yes.
I loved that in every shot with Tara talking in this episode, Tina is like half hidden behind her. Yeah. Like, the camera's not even trying to put them both in view. It's like they're going from the angle where you've got all Tara, little tiny bit of Tina in the background.
Yeah.
I had to pencil her into my notes, even though like she didn't really say anything.
Yeah, they keep cutting to her just being like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Can we hear from Tina? Like, what is her role in this? What is she thinking when Tara goes off like this? The reality of what happened here is that Tara started campaigning for Austin to go, and that's what convinced Ty and Jed that Austin needed to stay, because they became convinced that Tara was desperate to get Austin out, which means, all right, you do it then.
Yeah, you do it later.
Yeah.
Why should we do it for you?
Yeah, I didn't think there was really any obviously there was a lot of push all week for Austin to potentially end up going, and there was the episode showed us a couple of ways of how it was happening, but obviously the feeds for the past couple of days had a couple of different people with all these different conversations about should we do it, should we not. I don't know, it never felt like it was actually going anywhere. I think that's what everybody kind of felt as well, but I don't know, they had to give us something, right, to make it seem like there was possibility, and it was close. If they got that last final push in, like Taryn said, if Tara didn't get involved the day before, could have had a flip, but luckily for Austin and Brayden, Kyle's gone.
It would like make so much sense if there was a flip, because Kyle is so much more like than Austin. Like, Austin don't fake it with people. Like, Austin don't care if you think she likes you or not. Like, she's just hanging out with Brayden, living her best life with Brayden. And then Austin is like also winning more competitions. Kyle's more well liked. Like, I think the dominoes was there for the flip to happen. Would have been a good move? No, but like, these aren't good players, so it should have happened.
I mean, according to Tara, Kyle is like a son to her.
I'm trying to recover from that. I know.
So, you know,
it's like, are we on Clubhouse or Taryn's podcast?
I thought we were on Clubhouse.
RAGP After Dark. Mm.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
But people really do. They people were obsessed with Kyle in that house. I mean, even Vic was fighting hard for Kyle to stay after he threw her under the bus. She was fighting hard. He won over Austin. Tara looked at him like a son. Tina wanted him to stay. Both Ty and Jed for a really long time did want Kyle to be there. They constantly tried to make deals with Kyle and Roe, and they wanted Kyle and Roe wanted basically nothing to do with them. There really is some, I think, kind of draw there for Kyle. Like he had something in that house, and he, I think, for sure was the more dangerous player.
Yes. Yeah, it just kind of felt like he was. I mean, look, Austin won the first HOH, so that automatically had people thinking about her for a full week, that she was in power, she won a competition, she was, you know, she got the most dangerous player of the game, Josh out. So, you know, she's definitely somebody that people have had their eyes on. But Kyle is really just kind of, you know, as much as his campaigning showed you this week, he's been kind of just there. So why is that somebody that you need to really worry about taking out? Obviously, him and Roe do make a strong pair together, which does, you know, on the surface look a little bit more intimidating than Austin and Brayden, but there's definitely merit to why Austin could have gone here. I don't know. Have you said, Taryn, do you overall feel like they made the right call? Or that's probably.
I think most people made the right call. Yeah. I mean, theoretically, Austin is maybe better at competitions than Kyle, but like, who's really going to be better at counting rocks? You know, like, right. I don't really see that. And Austin is so much less of a factor in the game. She doesn't have the magnetism that Kyle does. She doesn't have the ability to keep groups together, to win allies over, to make people fight for her to stay. There's a reason why her allies wanted her gone. And that's just because she couldn't appeal to them in a correct way. Kyle was just so much better at those things in the game that, you know, I think it was absolutely the right call to get him out. You know, you let Kyle in the jury, he's going to try and run that jury. And that could be a good thing for you, but it could also be a bad thing for you. I do think it was the right call for most people, including some of Kyle's allies, to take him out here.
Gotta love when people don't try in the game, but really stump in the jury.
Yeah.
Mary's holding some vengeance, and I don't know who it's against.
I just want you to, if you're gonna try, like, try in the game. Like, go, you know, if you know you're going out, this would have been, I don't know that Austin gained something to benefit this week by just kind of laying low. Kyle didn't. Taryn's gonna disagree. Well,
like, I think that Austin lost a lot this week, considering she's like the main target heading into next week.
Right, but I don't think that was as much for, like, if Austin was running around campaigning all week, she could have easily been in an equally bad situation.
Well, sure, because she would have been bad because she was bad when she tried to campaign.
Right.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
If she was good at campaigning, I think that would have been good.
Yeah,
I just feel like. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Go, no, go, go, go.
I don't have anything to say.
Okay. maybe AJ does, but unless he's still recovering himself. No, the Austin thing is so fascinating to me, because thinking back to week one, like, it was like, oh, Austin and Jed, maybe Austin and Beth linking up here and there. And then a couple of other times that, like, she's been roughly associated with, whether it was like Tina and Tara trying to come over or Beth trying it again. Like, people have tried to make something happen. And I don't know, maybe I'm just not watching enough feeds, which probably is the answer right now, to see exactly what it is of, like, what is causing such a barrier to be existing in between Austin and all these people. But like, you would think, like, just knowing who she is, like, she's a very nice girl with, you know, not a lot of, like, you know, fire behind her game. Like, you should be able to pull her over and say, like, let's stick together while we get out some bigger players. But it's just not happening.
Part of the problem is you look at someone like Austin, who is so, I mean, there's a lot of pairs, yes, but I think Austin just screams, like, you're not going to be closer with Austin than Austin is with Brayden, unless you got Brayden out. But people would rather have Brayden there than Austin, for the most part. So there's, you know, I feel like you look at like Tina and Tara, it's like, yeah, they're together, but you could potentially pull them apart if they had better reason to. More fluid players.
Mm-hmm. Also, again, Austin has shown the most challenged capabilities of everyone on that side. Like, she won an HOH. She almost won another HOH. Ignored the last competition, but she's like really good in these competitions. Like, I think if she's the HOH tonight, who will be shot? Like, no one will be shot. Like, she is scary, though. You got to get her out real quick. Now, you got Jed on your side, and you got Ty on your side, and you got Beth on your side. So they shouldn't be worried about competition wins. But if this was like Tina and Kiefer and them, they would be worried about competitions.
Well, I mean, again, at the end of the day, they're counting rocks right now. So there's only so much you can do with the competitions. But
it always sounds like a euphemism or like a joke, but no, they're literally counting rocks.
Oh, they're
like,
counting that's just rocks
still,
all right.
Still blowing my mind.
Oh, they are counting rocks.
It's
all
like
night
it's like
all
they're watching all grass those grow. Rocks. They
so
really are
the rocks. All those rocks. All those big no, rocks falling. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta this. Count rocks. Kyle is gonna make his final pitch. This is when Ty tells us in the diary room that he made some really good points, and this is gonna be. It's going to be a really tough decision.
Woo!
Woo! I don't know why.
I'll delete that sound drop from your board.
I don't know why he had the woo. Why? Like, where did the woo come from? Why was there a woo? It's like, we talk about this all the time, that like the diary room producers are like, hey, I need you to say that again, but with more energy. And I feel like Ty was like, all right, this is going to be a really tough decision. And they're like, no, more energy. Like, okay. This is going to be a really tough decision. You're not getting it, Ty. We need more energy. Okay, this is going to be a really tough decision.
Woo!
Woo! Like, oh, okay, we finally got it. Woo! All right.
Sometimes you just gotta let out a woo.
Woo!
Come on, Taryn. I'm sure you've been there.
That genuinely felt so good. Like, I do suggest you do it.
Yeah.
Maybe you should do it, Taryn.
You need to make it happen.
It's got to come natural. You got to feel the woo. Unless the DR is going to push you. So, Mary, you're the DR. Taryn,
I did feel the woo.
You just got to push it, Mary.
Taryn, big vote tonight.
I'm super excited.
Woo!
That's cheating.
I respect them from here to here.
I feel like I have a lot of energy. I feel like the joy just jumped out of me there as I went.
Woo!
Very excited. So we get to we're gonna watch some clips. This bored me.
It's week four. What are we doing with the clips here? Like, we've seen them. I mean, I know that they haven't seen them all, but they're on the show. They don't need to watch the show. Wait until there's final four. There's nothing else to talk about besides the BB Can Awards. Like, I don't mind the BB Can Awards. It's usually fun to look back, but we don't need to look back in week four. Like, I don't know.
Listen, did you see those kicks that Austin were doing?
I didn't watch it. I literally looked at my phone the whole time.
Okay. Never mind then.
But maybe everybody else did.
It was so riveting, so captivating. It's an Emmy-nominated episode.
I feel like these can be fun sometimes, like to watch them watch themselves. But I felt like the clips we were getting were not good enough. And even the reactions were like very muted, like they weren't that amused.
I liked the one of Kiefer running into the room and flipping all the pillows and looking around. That was probably my favorite one. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that would have been a really great time to use that like sound effect where it's like you run and you skid and it's like, that'd have been a good one.
Yeah. I feel like this used to be a better segment, like back in the early 2000s when like seeing yourself on video was like a big deal.
Probably, yeah.
like, oh my, that's us on TV. what? And we actually got some like good reaction. Now they're just like, I probably could have TikToked that better, actually, if I had been filming. But we're going to get to the vote. We get speeches, but they're whatever, you know.
How upset would you be going back if you realized that Canada saw you walk out the shower naked?
I think if you're Victoria, you're very happy that made the cut. I think that that was the point.
I think that was the point in that case. Yeah.
It was the point of the whole moment. It's like, doing it right. Shower clip made it.
I think if she was not pleased about that clip, it would, I would hope, not be part of the clip show or any episode.
Did they get the consent? Like, listen, we're laughing out loud at your nudity. Would you be okay if we share this with the rest of the world?
Honestly, I would hope that that is part of their contract, that like, if there's any like nudity involved, like we will double check with you before we air it. Like, because, you know, there's no point in not doing that. You know what I mean?
I assume when you go on Big Brother, you sign away your life.
Yeah, yeah, I think they think you sign away everything. I mean, as long as things are being blurred out or covered up or whatever, you give everything to them.
I'm sure, but like, there's no reason to not also just be like, hey, we caught you coming out of the shower.
Well, because what if you're coming out of the shower while you're talking some serious game?
And like they've ever cared in their entire lives about making sure they get the good game clips.
Taryn, tell us how you really feel.
All right. Well, we get down to the vote. Everyone's looking nice. I really like Ty's turtleneck here. Turtleneck and the ripped pant. I was liking the look.
I didn't take notes. Yeah, I did. The fashion. I've never heard guys, the fashion updates on here. But
I'm doing I'll everything on this podcast.
I'm sorry. I'll go back.
Well, we can leave.
Fine, like, I will happily go.
Bye, Taryn.
See ya.
Yeah, I mean, really? Like,
do you actually not know?
Do you really not know?
No, see that
is
clip.
This a joke?
That's a good one to have on the soundboard. You can use that. You're gonna use that way more than the woo.
Oh,
woo!
that was your first mistake right there.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Fashion? I don't know. Yeah. But I was too distracted. Well, I mean,
Kyle went with a suit.
About Kyle again. People are like, Matt hates Kyle. I mean, but he just
well, you
boring.
Do hate Kyle.
He was boring.
Do you think the suit's the way
Matt,
to go?
Say it with your chest.
Should you overdress? Like, should you dress up a lot, or should you act cash? Is it like a bad omen to dress up too much for the eviction?
I think you go for the suit. If the suit is what you've got, I think you go for the suit. You make it an occasion. Huh.
I don't know.
I think if you know it's your last night, you gotta go out big. You gotta be a baller.
That's gonna be like the biggest clip of your entire game is you like leaving the house, right? And so you wanna look your best.
I mean, Kiki from season 7 is literally remembered solely for how she left the house, right? Like Mary's like, what happened? She was carried out of the house by Anthony, and then she was handed off to the production handler at the front door because her foot was injured.
I do remember that now that you're saying it, but
okay.
Yeah,
glad we're all on the same page,
right? I mean, I guess I'm just thinking like logistically, like you're gonna go out there, maybe not right now, but usually there's like all these interviews and things and stuff. It's like I'd just be uncomfortable, be like sweating in my suit, and
sometimes you gotta suffer for the look.
No one said fashion was easy, Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, Adam points out in the chat, how has nobody mentioned Arissa's suit yet? Yes, that's like the one fashion note that I can report
she
back
wanted
on.
To match
Arissa,
Kyle.
As always, looks great. But that's good. Just always the case. So it's like, you know, you don't usually think to mention it.
That's
but
the thing. You come out, you're Kyle, you're just dressed in an ordinary suit, and you're like, man, it's not even, what was Anthony's suit? It was like blue suit, looking fly. Or
Burgundy.
Something.
Burgundy,
yeah.
Mm hmm. Oh, so you remember that?
I remember that because you said it about 800 times. It was the first part of his memory thing.
Didn't work though. The memory thing did not work. we did get the vote read from Arissa. She said by a vote of 7-1, I'm sorry, Kyle, you have been evicted from the Big Brother house. And this is the second, I believe only the second sorry that she's thrown in here. And it has me wondering, is she a big fan of Kyle, or has she now gotten to, did now that she said sorry to Toya, does she now feel like, oh crap, now I can't not say sorry, or they'll feel bad?
I think she said so sorry to Toya.
That's true.
All right.
This week she just said sorry.
She's just trying to slowly it'll go away. Like next week it'll just be sorry. And then it'll be like,
What's different about that sorry that you just gave us than the one that we got tonight?
It's different than I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to cut back letters. Like I'm just, man.
Yeah, there was one fewer R in it. Couldn't you tell?
I'm sorry.
I like the idea that someone was in her earpiece and she was like, I'm sorry. Like it wasn't even meant for Kyle.
I'm sorry. Oh, Kyle, you've been evicted.
Well, Kyle is going to go up, and as he's leaving, they're going to be like, what do you really do, Kyle? Because he claims to be unemployed. Kevin claimed to be unemployed when he was on the season, and it was like, I'm actually a pro poker player. Kyle was like, I'm really unemployed, guys. Sorry, Austin.
Thankfully, there was a clip of that because I did not hear what they said. I did not know what they said. I
think at that point, you should just lie and go out the door saying that you were something really interesting.
Like what? What do you suggest?
Hey, you walk out and you'd be like, I was FBI. I don't know. Something.
I'm the host of Big Brother Outdoors.
You go, actually, this was all one big setup for Undercover Boss. I am the CEO of Global Entertainment, and you all just failed the test. Sorry, season is canceled.
That would have been a move. That would have been his biggest move of the game, even.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to go out to Arissa. They're going to talk about showmances and stuff. And then Tara says that he's like a son. And, this was all fine. There was actually like genuinely emotional goodbyes that happened earlier in the day that were way better than what we got in this episode. Maybe they'll show them at some point. But this is our send off to Kyle here as he heads into the sunset.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Rohan's probably feeling pretty good. I know that's, I know it's his best friend walking out of the house, but there was a lot of attention on the two of them, and I just kind of feel like he has to have a little bit of a relief coming his way now that that is gone. It's obviously a different game for him, and he's still in trouble, and by no means is he out of the water, but as he was saying goodbye, I was like, I feel like there's a little bit of happiness here.
Listen, if I know anything about Rohan, he don't know what's best for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably is happy.
Well, Tara was not. Did we see Tara's goodbye or not goodbye message, but her vote to evict? I haven't seen somebody so upset to evict someone since Nicole evicted Ian. Like, what was up with this vote?
Oh yeah,
I really loved to Kyle. Evict
Kyle. Sorry,
it's her son.
I mean, I think she just spent enough time on feeds talking about how she liked him, and that now she's like, oh shoot, I gotta keep with this this image of myself I've put out here.
This is one of those relationships where it's obviously not balanced. One person cares a whole lot more than they should, and the other person cares the proper amount.
Yeah.
I mean, Tara picked her side like weeks ago, right? She's been like saying, all right, enough, like Ty Jed gotta go, and you know, she pretends to be nice to them, blah blah blah. Like if she had her way, she would have been riding this game out with Kyle and Ro, or at least with Kyle. So I guess and obviously there was a little bit of pushing this week to get Kyle to stay. So like, you know, we saw all of that, or at least heard about how that all went down. So yeah, no, I get that she was upset, but I mean it's week four and
almost a month.
Almost a month. I just feel like I don't see them together as much. It was definitely surprising to see the level of emotion they had. Like, it's not surprising to see people get emotional when people leave in the house. Like, that always happens. But I just didn't realize that this connection was as strong as it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Or was. Or maybe ever will be.
Mm. Well, that's it for Kyle. That's it for the episode. But we do set up what we talked about earlier in the recap, which is the Invisible HOH. They are going to compete to make this happen. I will say this competition setup. So they're all lined up with walls in between them and they're watching rocks fall
And invisibility cloaks.
Yes. I mean, obviously, the tricky part to this competition is that that they can't actually see the rocks.
Right.
Right. That AJ is just gone. He's just been. I think he needs some help.
I almost started the podcast with an invisibility cloak joke. Invisibility cloak joke. Wow, say that like two times. I can't even say
it. You didn't go for it, I guess.
Yeah. We would have lost AJ at the beginning.
Honestly, the thing I was thinking of was what's this doesn't seem fair because there's a couple people who are right in front of the rocks and there are a couple people.
I know, they were like turning. I was like,
way off
on?
To the side. And it's like, well, they have a harder job here.
It's like when you go to like the movie or when you go to like a show and you get to like have like the best seat, like you want the best seat. Like how did they, obviously it was like random order to decide like where everybody goes, or was it random order? I don't know.
They couldn't have
had a better show.
They couldn't like curve these things around just a little bit. I guess that would have helped them see each other. Maybe they couldn't have made the rock thing bigger. Maybe have it, you know what would have been fun? What if the rock thing didn't have like one tiny little hole it was dropping into? What if it was a big sort of a line? So it was all over the, like a waterfall of rocks. That would have made it harder to count. Would have been more fun. Would have been a little more fair.
Mm-hmm. We're still talking about rocks, right?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Talking about
there's,
rocks.
There's some rocks. I still get it. I don't get it. You just click it when the rocks fall. You've got your little Jeopardy clicker.
Yes.
And then the rocks. But I don't see the challenge. It either needs to be long enough that it's difficult, or if it's shorter, isn't there a huge chance that they could tie?
I mean, possibly, but I would imagine they would just keep going until they're not.
Yeah,
tied.
I was gonna say, like, do we have any ideas, like any guesses as to how high the number is gonna go? Like, when are they gonna stop?
I would imagine it'll go for a while.
Did they tell them like it's going to go for X amount of time? Because otherwise it would
just be
oh shoot, this person's closest. Let's stop it now.
Yeah, you got to feel like the longer they go, the more likely it is that people will be like split up a little bit. But maybe, yeah, they probably, if they have to, like if there is a tie and there's like 450 rocks on the ground.
There is a tie.
They'll recycle. If there's a tie and a Jed, then they might have to let's go.
What is this podcast? What are we doing?
This is Rob as a podcast. I said that. Was nobody listening?
No.
I heard you.
All right.
Welcome to Rob has a podcast.
You actually not know?
With me tonight is AJ. How you doing, AJ?
I was doing better an hour ago.
So, no.
I'm just joking. I'm having fun.
Well, this is the competition. I don't know how long it will last. Perhaps a while, considering that the feeds apparently are not back yet. And even if they were, we probably wouldn't have much to update you on because we would not be able to tell very quickly who the HOH is. So no spoilers tonight because there's nothing to spoil. That's what we got. I might be able to tell you who has won the HOH by tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern when I update you on what happened today and tonight on the Big Brother Canada 9 feeds. But I also might just have guesses for you. I have no idea what's going to happen.
You got to feel like there's going to be some kind of like Zoom happening. Not like the Zoom that we're
like
on
a Zoom
right
call,
now.
No.
Like the Zoom, like, you know, some kind of like the...
Like a meeting about who won the HOH on a Zoom call where they discuss...
That, or I don't know, just some kind of like camera work to like show us, or I don't know. I mean, maybe they don't have to do anything. I don't know. Are we not going to find out until Monday? That's a wild thought.
I mean, if I was operating the cameras on the feeds tonight, I would be zooming in on somebody and then waiting for the internet to be like, oh, the camera just zoomed in. It's got to be this person. It's got to be this. And then I would zoom in on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just enjoy it.
This is why I really would love to be on at this time, because I know Taryn's watching. And so the first time I get a second alone, I look at the camera and be like, got that HOH. And then Taryn would be on the live feeds being like, and Mary said she won. And then it would be probably untrue because counting rocks sounds boring.
Next week, Mary gets a 2 in her stockwatch rating.
Well, the problem is that if you try to troll and be like, I won that HOH, but then like while you're doing that, five people are discussing who, which among them won the HOH and how they're putting you on the block, you're going to look really, sad.
It's all just for the joke.
Listen, I'm here just for the joke. Like,
yeah, I feel like in that case, if you're going home, at least you, at least you trolled Taryn.
Have fun with it. Like, don't be like Kyle. Have actual fun. Do some stuff. Troll Taryn.
We can't be that far off from somebody going on Big Brother and planning to troll Taryn or any ex, you know, live feed account. So, I don't know. Probably more of a BBUS thing. The BBCan people, I always think that they're like, you know, they're definitely big fans, or most, a lot of them are big fans. But I always feel like I expect like more. I don't know. Kyle was like our biggest fan. Kiefer is a fan. Who else is a fan?
Well, this season there were fewer fans than normal, but I would say there's usually more people in Big Brother Canada that are aware of the podcast than Big Brother US.
I have far more faith in Canada than I do in the US.
Anyway,
like, how many TikTok influencers are we going to have in the summer?
They're all TikTok influencers.
This season is all about TikTok, so yeah. I mean, it's not like BBCan is doing anything better to stray away from that. But I mean, overall, good cast, so I guess we can give them that. But does anybody watch the TikTok stuff? When are they supposed to do that? Like, right after the episode?
Yeah,
I'm not going to open it now. But
I think Puya watches those for us.
Riveting Puya. Podcast information here.
Yeah.
Right,
Karen,
sure,
how much longer are we
going to
be here?
Wait, guys, we're done. I tried to end this like 5 minutes ago.
We don't want to stop.
I've got eggs to make.
Oh, man. All right.
Ball guys to play.
Eggs?
Eggs.
Yeah. Eggs.
You got a problem with my eggs?
Yeah.
It's almost like... It's late.
It's late night eggs. Who doesn't like late night eggs?
Did they say late night eggs? No.
No one cares anymore. No. We've been through this. Eggs are gross. Late night eggs is worse somehow. Oh, and you gotta see.
You've had this discussion before?
All right.
This is...
Just send the Ro Show out the dodo.
We're sending this podcast out the dodo. Thank you guys for joining us. I appreciate all of the lovely people who are in the chat.
Yeah, I knew he didn't mean us.
I hope you guys enjoyed. I'll be live tomorrow with Puya. Talk about what happened tonight if the feeds do come back.
You can update Matt on all the TikTok info.
Yes.
I need to know.
Our TikTok correspondent, Puya. We'll have some fun. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We have some fun on there, playing Fall Guys, talking about feeds, doing all sorts of fun stuff, playing Among Us. There was a fun video that somebody made of one of the Among Us games that was very funny. So check all of that out. AJ, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Kid Norris.
There you go.
Jordan's.
Mary, how about you?
You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary, and you can check out my podcast on Kowski Cast, where we got Riverdale weekly updates with Kirsten McInnes. Matt, what about you?
Thank you, Mary. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Ligori. You can check out Aman and I podcasting over on the Choir Room, or Brian Scally and I podcasting over on the Dom and Colin podcast, all about the challenge. So that's that. Taryn, what about you?
Very excited. Tomorrow, I'm also going to be, not tomorrow, but Saturday, I'm also going to be with Puya to talk about The Circle UK. So make sure you check that out. It's been a lot of fun running through The Circle this season. There's been some interesting stuff going on. There's blue Terrans, there's orange Terrans, there's assassins. It's all over the place. So make sure you tune into The Circle coverage that we have. Thank you guys so much again for joining us here tonight on this eviction night recap, Big Brother Canada 9. I hope you all have a wonderfully invisible night, and I'll see you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.